and welcome to the Latch Lounge podcast. I'm your host, Amber Ginn, IBCLC, and today we are going to do a super fun episode. I decided I would do this like a Q&A style, so I asked the moms that I'm working with and moms on Instagram, kind of what are your biggest questions when it comes to returning to work, so that I could go through those, and I saw ones that were duplicated and decided to pick those. So I've got 10 really good, useful questions that we're going to go through, and I'm going to give you my expert answer so that we can cover the topic of returning to work as a breastfeeding mom. I'm Amber Ginn, IBCLC, and empowering moms in their breastfeeding journey is what I do. Breastfeeding comes with a lot of opinions. Your doctor, your mother-in-law, that random lady at the park, and it can leave you feeling like you're constantly second-guessing yourself. That's why I created the Latch Lounge podcast, to cut through the noise and give you real, judgment-free, no BS advice that actually helps. Whether you're nursing, pumping, or combo feeding, this is the place for you to get the real support and information you deserve. So grab a drink, get comfy, and let's get into it. So let's get started with question one. How soon should I start pumping before returning to work? So like many things, there is not a clear-cut black and white answer to this question. I would say it really depends on what your individual goals are when it comes to breastfeeding. If you're hoping to keep baby exclusively at the boob for your first 6 weeks, let's say, then you probably don't want to start introducing pumping until after that. If you're someone who is hoping to utilize your pump sooner and have dad or another caregiver give baby a bottle, then you probably want to do it a little earlier. So it really depends on your unique goals. And that's something I work with my clients on to help them develop a plan. That way they don't feel like they're avoiding pumping for longer than they want to. And they also, on the other side, don't feel like they're having to introduce pumping or bottles before they're ready, because it really depends on your goals. Question two. What are the best bottles to use for breastfed babies when returning to work? So bottles are such a hot topic, and we have so many companies spending like tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of dollars marketing a particular bottle for us moms. And I hate to be the one to say this, but I have clients who have babies who do super awesome on the bottle that you can grab at the Dollar General. I'm from the South, so I don't know where y'all are, but out here there's Dollar Generals everywhere. So think of it like a dollar store. They literally can run in there and grab a bottle, and it works better than the $30 plus per bottle bottles that we see marketed to us as being breastfeeding friendly. My own personal favorites, I would say, are definitely Dr. Brown's. I think those bottles work really, really well. The main reason being that they allow baby to get a lot of the nipple into their mouth, which is super duper important. Beyond that, I really like Thyseed. I think that's a great brand. I like Philips Avent. I have a lot of clients who do really well with that one. And Momi is another bottle that I think is really cool. I've actually talked to their CEO because he's somewhat local. The company's local to where I am in North Carolina. And I think they're all really great brands. I would say a lot of the times you might have to play around. A lot of places online now sell combo packs, so you can kind of try a lot of different bottles and see, and you can get like 3 or 4 bottles in one set so that you don't have to really commit to a particular bottle until you see what it is your baby actually likes. So I would say, find a bottle that is going to allow them to get a nice deep latch on the nipple. If you're planning on still feeding at the breast, that's my number one tip. But otherwise, you're going to have to play around with it a little bit. So question three, how can I effectively maintain my milk supply while working? So y'all know I am big on a multifaceted approach to supporting our milk supply. If it were as simple as supply and demand, we would all be super rock stars at filling up our freezers with breast milk from power pumping alone. And clearly, that's not it. So it's very complicated. It's a very nuanced, multifaceted thing breast milk production is within our human bodies, which is super cool and also challenging. So I would say my best tips is supporting your nutrition, supporting your hydration, supporting your sleep, supporting your stress, and of course, having frequent and effective milk removal, meaning that you're not going more than 4 hours between pumping sessions. Ideally, we're in the more 3-hour mark, but depending on what you do for work, being able to pump every 4 hours might be more realistic. And that kind of brings me to one thing I wanted to bring up that wasn't specifically asked in these questions, but when it comes to returning to your unique profession, having a plan that works with your goals is super duper important. So we don't want to be thinking, okay, we're going to pump every 2 hours and we're like a veterinary surgeon, which I have a client who is, and She can't pump every 2 hours. So we, in her case, we're like, we're going to pump every 4 hours and that's going to be realistic. And we're going to make hard stops and we're going to schedule and we're going to make everything make that work. So making sure that you know what's realistic in your place of employment and then working back from there is super duper helpful. And that's something I do with all of my clients when it comes to preparing for returning to work. Question 5, are there any foods or drinks that can help boost my supply? So short answer, no, I can't think of a specific food or drink. But does food and drink affect your supply? Heck yeah. So depending on your own unique nutrition goals and what you tolerate well, everyone's going to have a different answer. So rather than focusing on specific foods and drinks, which I feel like a lot of people like to do because that's really trendy and it's awesome and it grabs people's attention to be like, these top 3 foods are going to help you make more milk. In reality, we want to be focusing on hydration. We want to make sure that we're drinking enough water, but not too much. Drinking tons of plain water like a gym bro is not going to do you any good in terms of supporting your milk supply, because more than likely it's just going to have you run into the bathroom every couple of minutes and it's going to deplete your electrolytes and minerals within your body, which are super duper important. So hydrating with mineral rich liquids, water with electrolyte powder in it. I really love Redmond's Relight. That's my favorite. And I've tried like all of them. If you name one, I'm sure I've tried it. That's my favorite one. A nice, generous, to your taste, sprinkle of good quality sea salt in your water can be good if you don't think that's gross. Personally, I like that a lot. I have a lot of clients who really enjoy that. Drinking mineral-rich liquids like fruit juices, coconut water, bone broth, all of those things are really, really awesome for supporting your hydration levels. From there, nutrition is super important. Eating enough. Now is not the time to be eating the amount of calories that your 3-year-old needs. You want to be eating, in most cases, well above 2,000 calories a day. Most of the moms I work with, we're eating somewhere in the like 2,200 to 2,600 calorie range, which if you're thinking, wow, that sounds like a lot, you just created an entire human being and now you're using your body to support them. So yeah, you need a lot of calories. Making sure that you're getting enough dietary fat. That's my number one thing that I see mamas struggle with, is not having enough dietary fat. Our dietary fat, especially dietary fat coming from animal sources, gives us enough cholesterol to build all the hormones that are so necessary to our ability to produce enough milk. Beyond fat, protein is also super important. Bioavailable protein is really important. And for most people, that's going to come from animal products. I do have clients who are vegetarian or who don't eat beef or chicken for one reason or another. So don't fret if you're someone like that. Just make sure that you're eating enough bioavailable protein for your body size. Carbs are also super important. And I have a lot of clients that I work with who, for one reason or another, metabolic issues, hormone issues, eat a lower carb diet. So depending on your carb threshold, eating enough carbs for your unique metabolic situation, super, super duper valuable. We want to be eating whole food carbs ideally. Obviously, we're not purists around here. I'm just talking about like if you're framing it from an optimal place, we want to be eating plenty of whole food based carbs, things like fruit, root vegetables, whatever grains that work well for your body, and eating enough of them. We want to make sure that we're enjoying eating also, because we're going to digest our food a lot better when we're in a place of rest and digest. That's why we learned that back in like middle school biology, because that's the type of state you want to be in. Enjoying your meals in a low stress as possible environment is so, so helpful for your supply, believe it or not. Question 6, how can I make pumping at work more comfortable and efficient? So for efficiency, let's start there. We want to be sure that your pump is fitting correctly. Your flanges are fitting correctly. We want to be sure that we're wearing our pumps within our nursing, pumping bra, what have you at work, effectively. I have a lot of moms who they're using one bra at home, and then when they return to work, they're using an entirely different bra. And if you haven't practiced with it at home, sometimes you can feel a little out of whack. So I would definitely suggest making sure that your pump fits well, both on your nipples and within whatever garment you're wearing at work. That's super duper important. As far as environment goes, I would say try to create as relaxing of an environment as you can. So let's cut the lights down. Let's make sure it's not freezing. Let's have some cozy socks or a blanket. Let's have a snack beforehand. Let's take some nice, deep cleansing breaths before we sit down to pump. Have a picture of baby on hand. Any of those things are really going to help you to just get into a state where your body is ready to relax and to let that milk flow. Question 7, what should I do if I don't have a private space to pump at work? So short answer, your employer has to give you one. Federal mandates require that employers offer adequate and reasonable accommodations to pumping moms. That means a place to remove your milk that's not the toilet. No one should be hiding in the bathroom stall pumping unless that's like what you want to do. If you want to pump in the bathroom, do that. That's fine. But your employer should allow you a space that is not the bathroom. So if you work in a place where you decide to pump in the bathroom, I have some teachers who they're like, I'm going to pump in the staff toilet because it's the best place because there's people everywhere else. So no shade there. But your employer definitely needs to accommodate you with a private place that's not the bathroom to remove your milk. And they also need to accommodate you with reasonable breaks to do so and a place to store your milk. So that's not really something that you should have to worry about because your employer should be making sure your workspace is friendly to lactating mamas. So if you ever have an issue with that, reach out to me. Of all the thousands of moms I've ever worked with, I can count on one hand the number of times it's become an issue. And after just a little bit of calling the right people, it was an issue that was resolved lightning fast because employers do not want to mess around with breaking those federally mandated labor laws. So if you ever have an issue, call the labor department of your city or county and or get in touch with me. I would be happy to help you navigate that. Question 8. How can I handle the emotional challenges of being away from my baby? So that is like the question of a lifetime, right? It is so difficult to give you a straight answer that's going to make you feel better. Leaving your baby is probably going to be hard. I have some clients and they're like ecstatic to get back to work, but that is the rare bird. And most of us are pretty devastated to leave our babies and get back to work, even if we love what we do. And in reality, a lot of us, myself not included, have jobs that we don't necessarily love. I love what I do. And so being apart from my children to do it, I'm okay with that. My children are also older, but I could see how returning to work with a baby is so difficult. So just to share a bit of my own personal journey, I had my son when I was almost 16, and I definitely had to put him in daycare really early on so that I could return to school, so that I could hopefully provide for us a good life where I would be able to take good care of him and have a career that I liked and all those things. And had I let myself buy into all of that guilt and shame around being separate from your baby to pursue education or career, we wouldn't be where we are now. And I can say for certain, 100% without a doubt, my son would not be the person that he is, and he would not have had all the opportunities that he ended up having because of my willingness to put him in daycare so that I could pursue a better life for the both of us. So just remember that it might be hard, but it's worth it in most cases to pursue your dreams or return to your career or pursue education, whatever it is. And for those of you who are not happy about returning to work, that's valid. If you're like, I would much rather just be at home. I don't care. Like, screw this career. I don't even care about it that much. I want to be with my baby, but I've got to buy bread, milk and stuff. So I've got to go to work. If that's where you are, it's okay for it to be hard. That's okay. Like, your feelings are valid and you love your baby and your baby loves you. No matter what, you are doing a damn good job and your baby is lucky to have you. So just keep your head up and know that this too shall pass, and you're doing a great job. Question 9. What are some tips for building a freezer stash before returning to work? So I'm sorry, but I'm just going to say this way. Work with me. I have so many moms who come to me in this weird space where they've been following TikTok recommendations or they've been doing this, that, and the third, and they're all out of whack. Work with someone like me who understands how to help you effectively build a realistic and reasonable freezer stash for your breastfeeding goals. Going out here and trying to start pumping within days of your baby arriving or adding in all these power pumping sessions, it can wreak havoc on your breastfeeding journey. I have a lot of moms that I've worked with who've ended up with severe oversupply and a baby who's not latching effectively because they were in the pursuit of this big freezer stash that they saw online and thought that that's what they were supposed to do. So I work with my clients to develop a reasonable plan based on their goals, what it is they're hoping to accomplish, when it is they're returning to work, what it is they do for work, all these different things. And it is so important for that to be nuanced and dialed into your specific goals and situation. So sorry, I don't have a very direct, like broad answer, but it is super important to not mess around with your milk supply, especially in the beginning. It's super important to not buy into this like dairy cow-esque, like massive chest freezer full of milk. Like, most women do not need that. You don't need that. And if it's what you produce naturally, that's awesome. You're the type of mama who kept everyone else's babies alive when they didn't produce milk because you are naturally an overproducer. That's fantastic. That is a blessing. But we don't all need to be working towards that because we saw it on social media. So short answer, work with me. I will help you develop a awesome freezer stash that you feel good about so that you can return to work and not be stressing about how much milk you have and who's going to be feeding its baby and all these different things. So that is my answer to that question. Question 10, how can I prepare my baby for the transition when I return to work? So I would say focusing on who is it that baby's going to be with? How does baby feel with them? How do you feel about them? All of those things, first and foremost, we want to make sure we're feeling comfortable with who our baby's going to be with and that they seem like they're good with children, that they're safe, all of those things, obviously. From there, I would say making sure that baby knows how to drink from the bottle that you're going to send them to daycare with is obviously of utmost importance. Practicing with that bottle before baby returns to work, making sure that they're fluent with it, that they're comfortable with it, that they take it well, super duper important. From there, I would say understanding the feeding protocol, schedule, procedures, et cetera, of your child's childcare center is also really important. Do they feed baby on a schedule? Do they feed baby on demand? How do they warm up the milk? How do they store the milk? Do they have a lot of other babies who are on breast milk? I would definitely make sure that that's something they're familiar with. My son is almost 17. And so way back when I sent him to daycare, they were super familiar with things. So I'd imagine that they've even gotten more so. So, and all the clients that I've worked with, everyone seems to be really hip to breastfeeding babies and how to handle breast milk and the storage rules and all of those things. Because the last thing we want is to show up at daycare and them have like poured out an extra bottle because they were thinking about it, like formula and all that stuff. We don't want any of those things happening. So making sure that they understand how to handle breast milk and breastfed babies, super duper important. From there, I would say if you are going to continue to feed out the boob, which many moms totally do, completely doable to have baby on bottle and boob for you to work and have a career, go to school, what have you, and still be able to latch your baby at home. We want to make sure that we are latching baby frequently, like right when they get home with us, assuming, you know, schedules permitting, latching baby before we head off to our work day and send them to daycare. Those things are really just going to help us keep our breastfeeding relationship really good in terms of latching. So those were just 10 questions. When I work with moms one-on-one for a return to work consult, we go really deep. Most of my clients that I work with, we end up working together from like that newborn space up through, honestly, like weaning a lot of the times. So it's really great to get into your own unique goals, understand your unique history, what experiences you've had in terms of your supply, any considerations with your metabolic health, your hormonal health, any stress concerns, the environment that you're going to be returning to work in. Because I have some moms who they're an artist, let's say, and they work from home and baby's going to be home and they'll have a nanny a few hours a week. And then I have other moms who they're a forklift operator and they're going to be out in a warehouse and moving heavy machinery in a loud environment and surrounded by dudes. And so their considerations are different. Or I have yet another mom who's like a cardiac surgeon. And so she knows that she's going to be in surgery and she really wants to be able to have some amount of a milk supply. And she understands that she's not going to be able to pump every 4 hours. That's just not realistic if you're in surgery for 10 hours. So we can work in all those scenarios. All of those are real jobs that I've had clients have. And we've been able to create plans that allow them to meet their breastfeeding goals, feel really confident, feel comfortable throughout the day, and really provide their baby the nutrition that is their goal to provide their baby. And some moms, that's exclusively breast milk. Some moms, it's breast milk and formula. And some moms, it's donor milk in their breast milk. It really is all completely unique to you and what your goals are. And that is my biggest focus within my practice, is to provide you the support that is unique to you. So I hope you really enjoyed this episode. It has been so great to chat about this with you.
That's it for today, Mama. If this episode helped, don't stop here. Get even more support at thelatchlink.com. Need one-on-one help? Did you know your insurance covers free lactation care? If you have Aetna, Anthem, Cigna, Blue Cross Blue Shield, or UHC, you can get free virtual lactation care right from the comfort of your home. Check your coverage and book your session today at thelatchlink.com. And if you're looking for instant help with latch issues, grab my course, Latch Legend, for step-by-step fixes you can use right now. If you love this episode, subscribe and leave a review. It's the best way to help other moms find the support they deserve. Until next time, trust yourself, trust your baby, and know you are doing an amazing job.